Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode number 90, and we're going to be talking about the game Rygar. But before we get there, this last week, they announced the Super Nintendo Classic Edition, guys.
Oh, wow. So
that was last week.
That was.
We knew they were going to, and right before Christmas season, like, ramps into that. That's not a surprise, but I gotta say, I was super impressed with the lineup of games that they put on there.
I'm happy with the list. Chrono Trigger is not on there,
yeah,
which I think is a major problem. I feel like Secret of Mana could have been swapped out for it, or maybe there's probably another on there, but it's got it hits the big ones. So
it may come down to rights things. Like, they still have to be able to, you know, be allowed to use those titles, and so who knows.
So for those of you that do not know, 21 classic SNES games are going to be on this plug-and-play console, and it's going to include some of the games that we've actually played a part of this podcast, like, what, Super Mario World, Mega Man X, A Link to the Past. So there are some good titles on there, and I mean, you guys have already begun talking about the list. You approve of the selection. Obviously, Chrono Trigger is not on there, but there are some good games on there.
Yeah, I approve of the list overall. I think it hits all the classics, all the huge ones that made an impact on gaming for sure. But I really, really think Chrono belongs on there because I want people to play it who haven't played it. And it's like the truest RPG. So I'm bummed about that. And I won't get it because, one, they're hard to get. Like, they'll sell out or, like, run.
Kenny got a Nintendo.
I feel like more people, like businesses, have learned from the last one and are going to try and prevent, like, scalping, reselling as much as they can this go round. I've seen lots of places that last time were willing to, like, sell multiple units to people that this time have a strict one per purchase policy. And I'm hoping that will go a long way in having accessibility on, like, the front end market and not everything having to just be, like, resold. But
I don't know,
see.
Because I think this is going to be even crazier because the SNES, I feel like the SNES is a more cherished console for the age group that's on the market right now. Like, the NES, sure.
Well, and the lineup's more impressive. Titles, man. The NES had a couple really big titles, but there's a few on there that were kind of just more, like, representative of you know what I mean? Not like super fun games. Nobody's pumped about playing Excitebike, you know.
Right.
Not
I'd say the lineup definitely is better. Star Fox is on there, which is great, but they're also releasing for the first time an unreleased title that was near complete, Star Fox 2, which is crazy. Like,
right.
Wow. That's never been released.
Weird. It's never been released, and the rumor has it that you're going to have to get the console, play through, and beat the first game for it to unlock the second one. And it'll be the first time you can ever, like, legitimately play a new title. And so here's the thing. I would like to say that Nintendo learned from the last time and is going to up production, that there's not going to be any problems, those kind of things. But I feel like all of this is just hype machine for them. And I feel like they're going to want the artificial shortage, and I feel like it's going to be hard to get again, and they're going to milk it for as much, like, press, good or bad, both at the same time, like they did with the Nintendo, and these things are going to be flying off the shelves.
All right, so do you think you'll get the console, or will you try to get it? Kenny?
I'd love to. I don't know. I'll have to see, you know, where things are budget-wise or whatever else when they roll around and how accessible
you're non-committal?
They are. But, oh, I know, big surprise, maybe the in-between approach.
Nolan, probably not?
Definitely not. I'm not even going to try for it. One, because I fully believe that they're going to be impossible to get. Like, if I really wanted one, I would try, but, I mean, there's a really slim chance I would get my hands on one. And two, I have a Super Nintendo already that I love, and I love cartridges, and I already have some of those games, you know, the ones that are in the list. So, no, I prefer the original. I support it. I was kind of like, whatever about the NES thing, like, just emulate it, which you still can, by the way. So if you don't get your hands on one, just, you know, play Chrono Trigger still.
Sure. Well, and I don't think I'll get it either. I'd take it as a gift, and I would think it was a great gift, but
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. So I think we all agree we're definitely excited for the SNES Classic. Think it's a cool thing that they're doing it. Super cool idea. Plug and play. No need for any download. Like Nolan said, even though he likes cartridges, there's no need for a cartridge. There's no need for a disc or more. Disc or more, which happens to be the name of the hero's weapon in our retro game of the week, Rygar.
Overview.
You can always like tell when he's building up to something because he's like, okay, so Nolan does this, Kenny does this, but
and then, you know. and the look on his face, like he's about to deliver, and then there's always one word that he just doesn't quite say correctly, and you're like, wait, is Dustin just a little slow? And then
I truly am impressed by that one because he had to sit there and be like, Discord, 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 and then put two words together and get me to say it.
So we must first talk briefly about the original Rygar, which could be found in the arcades of Japan and some arcades, I think, in America in the mid to late 80s. So the version that we played this week was the Nintendo version, the NES, the more common version. But it had a predecessor the year before in the arcades.
Similar game or like completely different?
They're similar, definitely similar. Key differences. So the arcade was completely side-scrolling. It was one-hit kill. It was kind of just your standard quarter-eater, you know, arcade game. And but you're playing with the same character. You've got the same weapon, the disc armor, which I've already mentioned. You've comparable enemies and even some stage design. But you're not going vertical. You're not going down or up. You're just going horizontal from the left to the right, avoiding enemies, taking out enemies, fighting bosses. Now the NES version came out a year later in 1987 and was developed and published by Tecmo of Ninja Gaiden and Monster Rancher fame. Mm-hmm. So a big company behind this. And so you probably would go into it believing that you're going to get at least some kind of quality. You're going to get some kind of TLC. You're going to get something that actually had some money invested into it. It did have some significant differences from the arcade version, which I'm sure we'll address more in the gameplay section. But for now, I would love for you guys to kind of just sit back, close your eyes, and just listen to me read the plot. I've got the manual. Someone shared the manual.
I'm so glad you decided to do this.
Someone shared the game manual with us that came with the game in Discord this week. And I just kind of want to read you a part of the story. So
let's hear it.
Yeah. Once there was a holy place called Argul, which was founded by five legendary Endora gods. One day, suddenly, the blackest tragedy happened. The prosperous holy place, Argul, was attacked by the troops of the cruel king called Lygar. The sky of the holy place was completely covered with the flying castle of Lygar and his army of dangerous beasts. No. These animalized soldiers came down from the sky and committed the most atrocious cruelties. In a single day, they established the kingdom of evil. The people of Argul ceased to smile and could only pray for salvation. They prayed an ancient passage to counter the fulfilled prophecy of Lygar's evil reign of terror. The legend says that when a peaceful land is covered with evil spirits, a brave soldier will be brought to life from the dead for the purpose of saving persecuted people. Well, the people of Argul's painful prayer was so loud that it reverberated throughout the mountains and traveled a long distance in the land of Alguso. And at last, Rygar, the hero, came back from the dead in order to restore peace to the land of Argul, battling the forces of evil everywhere. So join forces with Rygar. That's the story.
Wow. I felt like I was about to take a nap in elementary school, which was nice. Thank you for taking me back there. Now, I have no problem with that story, though, except for Lygar.
So I think somebody was really, really proud of that story. When they finished writing it, I think somebody was like, boom, nailed it. The kingdom of evil? How can you beat that?
Come on, look at all fantasy games around the time, adventure games. The plots like that, it's just the names. First of all, the game title is the dumbest name. And then Lygar? Really?
Yeah, dude, they already had the hero's name Rygar. And so they're like, all right, what's a good name that sounds just like that?
Yeah. I don't know if that was a translation thing or if that was just like a them going, like someone like Dustin going Rygar, like Ligar.
They needed a nice tight segue, and so yeah. Regardless, that's the story. Very little of that is captured in the gameplay itself. It is that kind of realm, that kind of idea, that kind of concept that introduces us to this action adventure RPG of sorts called Rygar.
Gameplay.
Dustin, I'm so glad you referred to it as like an action RPG and not just a side scroller, because I think that knowing that is so helpful in approaching this game correctly.
What do you mean?
Like, the mechanics aren't really a side scroller. You have lots of that action, but if you don't go into this game with a mindset that you're going to be doing RPG kinds of things, like literally farming characters and experience and managing your magic and your inventory and navigating a world map that's not just linear side to side, but that takes you places and that gives you clues. And I think if you come into it and you look at it and you expect this is a side scroller, then as you get a little deeper into the game, you're going to be like, this game's impossible. It's asking too much of me. But I think if you approach it like an RPG, the decisions they made in terms of design and how they go about telling the story and you having to like find and kill bosses and get items and then progress makes way more sense. And yeah, I thought it actually did that piece of what it was trying to do pretty well.
How did you approach this game? Like, did you know at all what to expect? Because I did a first play this week, and I'll go into that a little bit, but what were your thoughts like going into this one?
I don't think any of us had heard of or even played this game before.
I don't think so.
I had never heard of it, never, so I didn't know what to expect at all. When obviously seeing that it's from Tecmo early on, I'm like, okay, you know, this there might be something here. But with the name, with not having heard of it before, and then just the cover art, those are the things that come to me at first. Yeah. And if Tecmo wasn't there, then I would have had little hope for it. Seeing Tecmo, I was like, we'll have to see what this game is.
Yeah. It didn't even occur to me that Tecmo was like the... I mean, I'd heard the name, I think, but I didn't realize it was Monster Rancher and all those. So I was...
Yeah, and Ninja Gaiden was a great game.
Oh, yeah. We loved that one for NES. Yeah. Thought it was way ahead of its time. Kenny, what did you expect with Rygar?
I came into it a little bit later this week after people had started talking about it. And so I had a really, really low bar because of some of the frustrations that people expressed just, you know, within our community about the game. And I try and always keep a pretty open mind, but I came in with a pretty low set of expectations and was actually pleasantly surprised, I think partly because of that.
Yeah. The character and the weapon are the same as the arcade. So you're Rygar, who's got this kind of red palette. Is he topless?
I feel like he has a vest or something on. He's got something on his shoulders.
I don't know. He's manly, however it's happening.
And he's got this legendary weapon called the Disc Armor, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
It's a pretty sick weapon.
It really actually is.
Like, you know, I love the idea of that.
You know what it reminded me of? And this is not flattering to the game whatsoever. It reminded me of the ball and chain weapon from Athena.
Same.
Yeah, I can see
that was the first thing that hit me. But it's so different.
It's very different. This is not going to make it sound good either. Think of a yo-yo. it's like a yo-yo weapon.
Star Tropic, I think, is the name of the game. We haven't played it, so you guys may not be familiar, but a fairly well-known NES RPG... that you're this kid and you're running around on this island and you get a yo-yo as a weapon, and it's actually, you know, this kind of out and back sort of thing. It totally reminds me of a yo-yo, but not in a bad way. Because of that game, it reminds me of it in a really cool way.
Yeah.
I thought that was sick.
What I can say about this, I hate that I'm even mentioning Athena, but whereas Athena, the hitboxes were wonky and who knew where things were going, with this Disc Armor, I quickly figured out how to handle it well, and it had accuracy, and I was able to control it and manage it just how I needed it to.
It was an awesome weapon. I loved that choice.
So, in comparing the NES game to the arcade game, Rygar controls and looks the same. As already mentioned, you're not just traveling to the right on the NES title. You can go up and down via ropes, or you get various items throughout the game that allow you to traverse better, like a crossbow or a grappling hook. And there's very little or no RPG elements in the arcade version. In the NES title, you can power up Rygar, you can increase your life bar, you can so there's more of a narrative, more of a plot, more of those RPG elements. You've actually got experience and can level up your character as well. So it went from this arcade side scroller to this action adventure RPG light.
It still kind of kept the arcade feel though. If you had told me it was a direct arcade port, I wouldn't have been surprised, because it still would have been a quarter eater. Because this game was hard.
Sure, it really was.
Like, really hard. I think this might be, like, playing this game legitimately, I think this might be the hardest game we've played.
Nope, Battletoads is way harder.
Interesting that both of you are saying this, because after I learned how to handle the Disker more, learned how to maneuver and avoid around enemies, and even learned how to despawn them, which is easily done. This game has some glaring flaws. You can move off screen and easily despawn enemies. But after I figured out some of those things out, outside of bosses and the occasional pitfalls, this game became relatively easy for me.
It got easier over time, for sure. But I still found moments, even after I had a hefty enough health bar and had gotten it, you know, got the sense of jumping and moving and when to avoid enemies and when to not, there were still elements where I was like, I couldn't do this. And you've got to realize, this game doesn't have any save sort of feature. We're playing in a very, very different environment today with us playing through, because I guarantee all of you guys played save states. Because Dustin, you say you got to a place where things were easier. If you died, you didn't start the game over and get to that place naturally each time. Like, played authentically, this game, I think, would have been nigh impossible.
I can see that.
Yeah, let me address that. I realized early on that there were no save functions, that there was no password system. Read up a little on it, and yeah, this was a very, very lengthy NES title with the only way to complete the game. You're not going to beat it in one sitting. The only way to complete the game is to leave your console on overnight for an extended period of time, for multiple days, if not weeks, because it's there's a puzzle aspect to it. It's a lengthy game and a lot
you're
to
you're having to figure things out. And literally, you're having to grind some experience, and like, there's moments that this game plays like an RPG, and yet it, like, has the functions of a platformer, because you can't progress.
Didn't that also lead to, like, overheating consoles?
Sure.
Because people left them on so long.
Sure. And family fights when you come home from school and your parents have turned off your system that you left on purposefully.
No way. No way.
So, but in reading up on that and in realizing that, I wanted to actually be most faithful to that. So I did not play save states this week, and kept my game up and running so that I could come back to it and continue playing.
Respect, but
but unnecessary.
Did you beat it?
I did not beat it. No.
Okay.
That was my plan, but I kept getting very, very frustrated. So boss fights, one of the things that was helpful is that usually you go through a door and enter into this boss area in which you fight the boss. And then if you die at that boss, you're able to start right there in the area. I kept dying to this boss. So I could go back through that door and go back into the area right before the boss. And I could grind some more and get some more experience life points. But I would inevitably accidentally fall into a pit and then start back at the beginning of that stage rather than at the boss. And that would frustrate me after all that time, and then I'd lose my power. So I kept getting to that point and getting completely frustrated, and no, I didn't finish the game. But I think I got about halfway through.
So you never resorted to using save states at all?
Correct.
Because I would have given up on this game much earlier if I hadn't.
We're so babied now.
Does it? Just honestly, I really would have it just because of the difficulty level.
Yeah.
Well, I started doing that, and then I had the sense, and maybe it's just because I died so early that there wasn't somewhere to default to, that there aren't infinite continues. I thought you got one continue and then it was done.
No. So
it's an infinite set of continues. It just moves you back a step.
It moves you back to the start of the stage that you're currently on. Yes. So it's not nearly as punishing
as I thought it was.
It's not the biggest punishment outside of the fact that there is no save. So, I mean, like, you're keeping this on to be able to do that.
Well, right. But at least it's not, like, over. I literally thought you got the one game over and got to play one more time and then got a hard true game over and, like, the game restarted from the beginning. And so with that in mind, I was like, this game is impossible. You would have to spend years mastering the mechanics, and then you'd have to play it so slowly, farming up health and staying alive, and you have one little mistake where you're on the overworld map and don't realize it and put your toe in the water and you're just dead.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole experience would have been over. And I just thought it was impossible. That makes it significantly less punishing than I thought it was, but still not kind.
And it's reasonable for you to think that, because when you die, when you lose all your health or fall under the water, you get a game over screen. And so, like, you're like, well, my game is over.
We're trained to think that's, like, the end. Like, oops, no more lives,
But you press start again, and you're at the start of that area, so.
Right.
There is a weird pause screen. So, like, the sub-menu always made me smile every single time that I came to it, because there's no explanation to what you're actually looking at.
Listen, and it explains it perfectly.
In the menu?
At the top of the screen it says potential. And then the whole rest of the screen is the potential for you to figure out what in the world to do with this game.
Yeah. That's what made me laugh the most, because some of the other things could make sense and you could figure out what, like, tone is and what your power meter is. But at the top it says potential in a box of its own. And I guess now looking back at it, that's just a description of the entire subscreen. It's not its own thing.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was just sort of saying, like, here's potential. Where you're at. You know, here are the things you have to work with. But it was a crazy term to use. I think it uses that same term in the manual, which at one point I went, oh, okay. But it still is the most randomly just placed word. Like, what?
This is one of those games that a manual is extremely helpful, and that the manual that it came with not only told you that beautiful story that I shared up front, but it tells you what that start subscreen looks like. It tells you what some of the items and the collections do, and it even gives you a map.
It does, which is super helpful. And even how to use some of the items that I think they knew weren't really intuitive to use. When you get that little, not the grappling hook, but the pulley that lets you move across water ropes, figuring out how to, like, attach yourself to that pulley without the little description in the manual that was like, you got to stand kind of by it, but with the middle of his body near it, and then press up. Like, I'd have hit a bunch of buttons and been like, well, I can't use it, and turned the game off. It was very, very helpful this time to have read through that manual.
One of the mechanics that I don't think is supposed to be a mechanic, but I think, Dustin, you mentioned it, but it became super important to my progression, and that's despawning enemies, which seems really strange to say. Like, you're supposed to kill enemies that spawn and they're always supposed to be there, but you can actually manipulate the game so that you don't have to fight enemies. You can just dodge them, kind of, which I found, like, I had to do that to get past certain areas because there's too much on the screen.
The forest, the Aruga Forest, is the first place that I discovered that bug. I mean, it exists everywhere, but it was the first place I realized that it was something exploitable and, you know, that you could do intentionally and manually. And I don't think I would have gotten through there to discover the first boss fight and fail at it a whole bunch and have to go farm more and hate the game. That first boss fight was really frustrating. I got there, like, too early, and I literally couldn't kill him. It was frustrating. But without despawning enemies, that was the first place I really had to use that, I felt like.
Where they drop eggs on you, those scary
the
things
flying
with the
legs,
arms?
The flying legs with lips.
That was the worst.
Drop eggs? Those are
and
terrible.
And you had to grapple across? No. That's where I had to, like, use
give up
infinite save states. No, I made it through it, but I absolutely use save states.
Those were by far the most frustrating enemy I encountered.
Whether it's a bug, as you said, or a feature that you're able to use, it's definitely apparent within the game. And there are some inconsistencies. There are some flaws that are especially noticeable today, and we can address those now in our section on age.
Aged. So I know you want to jump straight in and talk about some of the flaws, but can I point out the first thing in terms of aging that stuck out to me?
Sure.
And that was the music in this game.
Are you about to say it's amazing?
I'm about to say it's old and repetitive and like tried but failed hard and drove me crazy. There was one point where I got to one level and the music changed, and it had been the same for so long that I literally like sighed in relief to have
favorite
different
song.
I was like, oh, a new
song. But
then
song. That one got old.
But then, yeah. But then that one's repetitive. So for me, audio tracks in this game were hit or miss. Like, some of them I thought were a few bangers. Like, actually were doing good. Man, I could just jam to that in the club. With a lot of these games, the repetitive nature of the levels and the tracks. I mean, the tracks in today's games are a long. You know, they're very long tracks,
sure.
So that they very infrequently loop. It, back here, the tracks are about a minute long, and so if you're longer on a stage, less than that?
And like, here's the thing. I don't mind the retro feel. I don't like that. I don't mind that real 8-bit kind of thing. But there's games that find a way to do it well and that you feel like their music was really thoughtful and cared for. And this one, there were places that it felt okay and places that it just drove me crazy.
Yeah, it was very forgettable. It didn't drive me crazy, but I just stopped paying attention to it, I guess. It was, you know, that classic just beeping noise in the background.
Right.
As
your
playing.
Brain just sort of gets
it's
used
forgettable,
to it. You kind of check out.
Yeah. What did stand out to me was the graphics on the NES, like the backdrop, the mountains and everything. I love that. And
yeah, this game was pretty.
It was. It was very pretty, which, okay, the background was pretty. I thought the foreground wasn't as impressive, mainly your character. I guess you would have the box art if you had the game, but it's hard to tell what you are exactly. I didn't know if I was a knight or if I was... a robot. Kind of look like a robot, but
closer to a zombie. Remember, you were raised from the dead to set these people free.
See, I didn't know the story either. The game just starts.
Yeah,
but anyways, yeah, the graphics were impressive, I thought.
I agree, especially with the background. I mean, it's a very pretty background. Your first stage is the setting or rising sun, and it's got its, you know, fire orange on a morning sky, whatever. It's some of the graphics are really, I think the overworld is lacking. I think
true.
Your character model is lacking. I think the enemies are impressive. But whatever, I think when compared to other NES titles that came out around the same time, like even Super Mario Bros. Or maybe more comparable, Contra, I think some of those games are prettier and do it better.
Yeah, but
it
felt pretty early, and I liked it. I'm with Nolan on this one. The visuals were good. They even had some places that showed their aging, though. Like, this game was terrible, at least for me, about having the too many enemy lag problem.
Oh, yeah.
Especially later on, there was a lot going on, and of all the old games we've played, I had more, like, stuck in the middle of stutter and try and deal with it moments in this game than anything else that I've played.
It gives you more time to think about how you're going to dodge what's about to
how impossible it is to dodge the fact that you're surrounded by enemies from every side and
well,
you
that's
can
why,
shoot in one direction.
That's why mastering that despawn glitch is pretty important. But at times it's hard because they all come on at once.
It's
just like, what do you do? But the thing they did do right, I thought, was the variety that they provided you. So like, you've got the cave area. And the fact that you do have kind of a pseudo overworld is cool. Like... it totally is. It has some RPG elements to it.
No,
and
I loved those.
That was welcomed for me. Instead of just being a straight-on platformer, I can see at that point, like the music for you, Kenny, where I would just be like, okay, this game is just going on and on and on, and it's so hard. But the fact that there was some like decision-making and like how like where you're going and exploring, the variety there was there for me, and I thought that was well timed in the and when it came out. So, but yeah, the other areas are definitely screaming like this was made poorly in the first place, and so clearly that's going to show up when we play it today.
Yeah, we've kind of naturally come back around, Dustin, to your desire to talk about some of those like glitches and shortcomings. But not only could you like despawn enemies, but there were places where it almost felt like impossible to get through something without either taking damage or getting knocked into water. And it was just, there were places it was really punishing and not as like thoughtful in terms of enemy design as you would have otherwise.
Yeah, and I think all of that, C, could be forgiven, and it could just be a difficult game if there were save states or passwords or something, guys.
Absolutely.
There's some fun in having a game where you haven't yet reached a save state and you need to pause, wait overnight, resume the next day. That's fun, but when it's forced upon you with no other option, I think that's atrocious, even for these older games. What helps playing it today in the age category is that you can use save states to nullify that for the most part. But if you are playing on a console with a cartridge or a disc armor, then you don't have that option. And so even today, playing that, you know, for someone that is true to the original form, you're gonna have a lot of difficulty.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For what it's worth, there is another Rygar game made. And I kind of want to play the arcade one just to see how it compares, because sometimes arcade titles are better when they've been ported to NES, in my opinion. But I don't know if that's the case here. But they did make a game for the PlayStation 2 called Rygar the Legendary Adventure that was based, obviously, on the NES one. So you can actually go play that on the Wii. It's on the eShop.
So. Yeah. So it came out on PlayStation 2, later ported for the Wii in 2008. So if you just can't get enough of Rygar, there's some waiting for you to play.
Yeah, and the cover of this one looks cool, I guess. The shield's still there, the disc armor. So yeah, I guess check it out, but probably not though.
The final shell shock.
All right, guys, so here we are. Do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status, which for us simply means it's a general thumbs up or thumbs down? Needs the majority for us as NGP to either give or revoke that status. And so we'll start with you, Kenny. You have the honored position here. What would you like to do?
There was a moment when I came really, really close to saying I would have given this game New Game Plus, because I was having a lot of fun. And of all of the games that I would put in the category of games I hate, which this falls into,
ooh,
this is the only one I still want to keep playing and go back and finish. And so I'm really conflicted, because like I was having fun in certain elements of the game. Once you master the like mechanics of your character and jumping on enemies and hitboxes and how they work and kind of get the unique sort of feel of playing this game, you talked about that, Dustin. I did exactly the same thing. And you start accepting that it's an RPG and that you have to take it slow and think of it that way. I had a lot of fun.
So what?
But there's just too many punishing, terrible moments. Like, if you actually play this game as it's supposed to be played, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a real challenging game and you're up for something that you're okay really exploiting save states and you're just curious what we're talking about, maybe this could be fun for people. But there are so many little problems, and that lack of a save feature just for me is a game killer. It's unforgivable. And sitting down and actually playing this game truly authentically, I would never, ever, ever get through it. And I wouldn't wish that frustration on anybody. So, no way.
And I can totally relate to what you're saying. I don't think it's an awful NES title. Like, I don't. I think there are some redeeming characteristics and qualities. We've mentioned some of those. And I think we need to give it the credit that it deserves for being an extremely early adopter to this side-scrolling action adventure RPG with an overworld mixed in type.
Yeah, it was unique.
Experience and levels, like unique and early, guys. Like, absolutely. That's early for that kind of
thing. This was what, 87?
This is if I'm not mistaken, this is pre-Metroid, and Metroid kind of set the standard for that kind of genre. So we can thank Rygar for Metroid. I'm not going to say that, wow, even in no. joking. I'm kidding. But there are enough glaring faults with this game in complete agreement with Kenny that I simply cannot give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
Well, I can't be the power for two, so no, I don't either. So for games that you can't save your progress in, the gameplay has to have a different... You have to have a different kind of gameplay.
You have to do something different.
Yeah, for something that's about progress and boss fights and items and beating the game, you got to have something. You got to have a password. You got to have something. So like... it makes the game unplayable. It really does. I think that's what's keeping me from giving it New Game Plus.
Or the game has to be short enough to sit down and do in one setting.
Right, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. So, but even if that was there, I wouldn't, because I don't like the game. So, no New Game Plus for me.
All right, so this game does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. Go play a different old game and leave Rygar to antiquity. Don't worry, you wouldn't be able to play for extended period of times anyways.
I'm probably gonna finish this game out of frustration.
Go
no,
for
you're
it
not.
I really
do
think
you,
I
do
am.
You guys want to know the speed run time for this game?
I'm sure it's like
I'm curious.
15
I
minutes.
Really am.
You're saying 15, Kenny? Yeah. What are you saying?
I'm gonna say longer.
What?
Yeah, what, that's
give me a number.
That's 1501
to infinity.
That's
a standard way of taking a bet, is an over under on a guess.
Oh, just what
give
is
me
it?
A number.
Okay, I'm gonna say.
Oh my
34
gosh!
34 minutes.
Darkwing Duck is the speedrunner, and he has the record for 22 minutes and 24 seconds.
Wow. Okay, we kind of split the difference. Overestimated. You underestimated.
Yeah, so I went.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's not completely broken though. Like he's still got to do some progress. So.
Interesting. Well, we did get some thoughts from a few of our viewers this week.
We did.
Paul, he wrote in and he said, Nolan, you called me out. So
I
here
did.
We go. I had right. this game as a young child, and like you in your first play, I got hopelessly lost. However, when I was around 14, I got into a phase where I began playing several of the NES games I had in my collection that befuddled me years prior. Among these was Rygar. Over the course of a few summer weeks, and without the help of a manual, online guides, or word-of-mouth discussion with my friends, I worked my way through the game, exploring and learning the different areas, and eventually being able to get through the game front to back in about an hour. Hardly a speedrunner time, but respectable for a casual player. Since then, it has become one of my favorite lesser-known NES games, warts and all. I realize several aspects of the game have not aged well, but I think it's still a rather fun action-adventure game that fans of retro games can enjoy.
See, I'm totally with him. Like, outside of the saving, and if you're willing to do that and get past those first couple levels and learn it, like, I really, really did enjoy this game and thought they did some things well. Just didn't matter.
So I'm so glad Paul got back with me on that. I didn't know if he would see the first play. I stayed lost. Like, even when I got to the overworld, I just kept going. Like, I didn't look up a guide or anything. So I was lost the whole time. So mad respect for... It's not speedrun time, but it's way fast for a casual player.
Oh, a
so
whole playthrough? That's very impressive.
And look, I can imagine what Paul said, because I don't think it's an awful game. And if early on in your in your childhood and in your gaming, you get this game and you push through to explore and experience and find and discover, I mean, yeah, I could see it. So yeah, thanks for your email, Paul. We also got a email from Dylan. Dylan said, NGP, Rygar sucks. I know that's harsh, and I know it's old, but I hate it. I'm so bad at avoiding the million and one spawning enemies, and when I finally muster up the guts to fight one, three more hit me. Needless to say, I did not get very far in this game, but I did get far enough to remember that side-scrollers are not my cup of tea. Perhaps others who are more apt to play this genre will enjoy, but sadly, I am not one of them. Play Legends of Dragoon. Thanks, Dylan. Totally
so
different game. PlayStation. Yeah. That's right. Well, PlayStation 2.
And I don't blame him at all, because if you don't get past those early stages and into the little bit more meaty depth place in this game, you're going to just mostly hate it.
Yeah, and like, seriously, navigating that through those enemies, don't fight them. despawn and jump.
Yeah,
is the best way to progress.
And then get crazy. To a place where you can grind safely. You know, but when they're spawning on both sides of you and coming, you know, nonstop, it's just way too dangerous.
Yeah.
Thank you for your thoughts. Feel free any and every week to send us your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week, and we love to include it as a part of our show. You can email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. It is the time in our episode in which we randomly select a new old game to play for the next 7 days from our glorious Retro Master list.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. I feel like Kenny this week. I'm tired of this game.
Like you're all pumped?
Let's see.
I'm pumped too.
But the problem is, it's RNG, and we have a ton of bad games in there. So
it's a big guarantee list. Yeah, we're gambling. We're rolling the dice for sure every time.
And it's time to roll that dice now. So the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days is a side-scrolling beat-em-up hack-and-slash arcade video game released in 1989 by Sega. Uh-oh.
Okay.
It was obviously later ported to the Genesis slash Mega Drive and started a long and endearing series. The game is called Golden Axe.
Dude.
Wow. I think I'm super hyped.
You definitely are.
If this is the game that I'm thinking of, this is one of the classic like fantasy style arcades.
It's pretty much Conan the Barbarian, I think. Like,
yeah, but you get like different characters and magic. I may be misremembering this game, but this is a game I tried to get us to play early in the podcast quite a lot and quit, and I had a hard time remembering what it was even called. And so I think it was my ask of our audience to recall this game for me that got this one on the list. And so, man, I am super, super pumped.
So it's I think it's might even be Rygar on steroids. Instead of a disc or more, though, you've got a... I don't think you got an axe. I think you got a sword. We're going to find out over the next few days. And we'd love for you to play with us, and we can discover these things together.
Dustin, you did mention it got ported to a console pretty early, right?
Yeah, so arcade Genesis. 89, and the same year it was on the Genesis.
I like when I can to play the arcade if possible, but sometimes just that makes games a lot more inaccessible. But hearing that it's a Genesis title is good.
And I hope that we're being like, oh, it's going to be so good, and then we play it and it's totally not. I hope that's what happens.
We'll see. I'm excited, though, either way. I think it's a fun title.
Yeah.
And I don't mind staying in kind of old school fantasy for a couple weeks in a row just because I love it.
We'd love for you to connect with us on social media this week, Facebook and or Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, and any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And you can also join us, and we can talk about this game on the daily in our Discord, which is linked on the pinned message on our Twitter.
Yes, and we've got several chats going on right now. It's just a lot of fun. We like hanging out with you guys, and email is a good way to get us your thoughts on games, but just talking to each other, Discord's better. It's quick.
Yeah, we've got a great community. Love these guys.
Yeah, I love our community.
Speaking of our community, thanks to all of our patrons, those who support us financially. You really help us improve the quality of what we're doing. If you go back and listen to some of the early episodes and to what we're producing now, you can see we've come a long ways, and that's a lot to do with the fact that you guys have supported what we're trying to do. So thank you to all of our patrons, and especially to those who support us at the producer level. You guys are the best.
Just to shout you out by name, that would be Bradley, Zion, and...
Listen, the reason I didn't do it manually is because I still can't say his name correctly, Dustin. You can't throw me under the bus here.
These guys are worthy of being named on each and every one of our
Gamble
episodes.
Gamble Baloney.
Gimbarino, our newest producer. We thank you guys for your significant support.
Absolutely.
Join us next week as we play Golden Axe. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.